This is the Mentee Podcast. My name is Wyatt Graves, and each week on this show, you will get to hear my conversations with world-class mentors who are sharing behind-the-scenes strategies, which will help you, as they help me, level up our lives and achieve the life that we desire. Jim Rohn said, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." And if you're interested in upgrading your five and living the good life, then this podcast is for you. What's up, everybody? It is your host of the Mentee Podcast, Wyatt Graves, and I am here to share with you one of my conversations that I got to have recently with Brooke and Christian Torres. Brooke and Christian have been in the trailer park industry for many years and the real estate investment world. And then, as you'll learn from our conversation today, which sort of piqued my interest and allowed us to connect and then have an in-depth conversation about it, they started their own business and in 1 year scaled a massive real estate portfolio that consisted of trailer parks and RV resorts across the country. And then they had a great exit with it. And now they share their story today on what they're doing after the fact. It is a very informative conversation. Hey, these folks, they're a husband and wife duo. They bring the energy. It's always fun and exciting to have lively, energetic, just real driven people on the show. And I know that you will not be disappointed. They bring it today. And so I am excited to share this conversation with you. It's definitely one that you will be impacted by. So with that being said, let's get into my conversation with Brooke and Christian Torres.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. How's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. How are y'all doing?
Amazing.
I love it. I love it. I have a good sense that this is going to be a high energy, positive, like I'm going to be ready to run through walls after this episode.
Let's go, baby.
100%.
You know it.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm excited to meet and talk to y'all today.
That's great.
Dude, me too. So what prompted you to reach out, or how did we get connected?
You know, that's always such a...
Oh, yeah. You reached out. Okay.
Okay. Right. Thank you for that clarification, because I'm always trying to seek out people to get connected. And then, you know, there's all kinds of people, agents of other folks that reach out to me to get on the show. So I kind of fly by the seat of my pants in some degree. And when it comes time to like these podcasts, I make sure that I know who I'm talking to. I make sure that I know what we're going to talk about, but I have no idea how we got connected.
Well, I've got the answer for you. It was me. I reached out to you guys, and I like what you're doing and thought, you know, this would be a great, great opportunity for us. And so here we are. I'm excited.
I love it. I love it. I want to know all things about your investment firm, all things about your journey, the asset class, how you guys work together and stay together, and like what that looks like. I have so many questions for y'all. So with that being said, do you guys know, like, my show, I'm the mentee, and you guys are going to be my mentors for the day, for the hour, right? And so a lot of people, they don't know how to get into a conversation with people that are already doing something that they want to do themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So the whole hack behind the show is based on the Jim Rohn quote, "You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with." And so once you find clarity around what it is that you want to achieve, all you have to do is to go find other people who are already there. Get into a relationship with them, and then the rest is history. But here's the challenge. Most people don't move into action to find those five people, right? Like, how do they get connected with Christian and Brooke? They don't know those answers. They don't know how, they don't think that they could just enter your website and that you might actually respond to them, right? But so many of us do. So our listeners are riding on the coattails of my mentors, and they love these conversations. They like to get connected. several times they reach out to people after I have them on the show. So I hope I can bring you guys some value relative to my listeners and people that want to create passive income. They like the asset class, or they want to get connected with you to maybe bring you a deal, right? So we got a lot that we can talk about for sure.
Exciting.
Well, you know, great example. Brooke reached out to you. You responded. Here we are.
Exactly. Right. Well, it's not that difficult.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
It's just being curious and always being a student and always being appreciative of what others have accomplished and appreciate what they have to offer. And one thing that helped me was you know, I used to feel like I had to prove myself to get attention. Mm. But that just isn't the case. I don't have to prove anything. I don't want people to come to me and try and prove all kinds of accomplishments or an emotional, trying to prove themselves emotionally. Just be curious about what I do. Be curious, ask great questions, get involved, be in tune, be present. And people that are high performers and taking action in life, they see right through it. They spot it right away.
It's because we've lived the journey, mm-hmm. right? Like a lot of times, and we talk about this a lot on the show, we talk about like what is it that inspired you towards action, right? And when I look back on my own journey and my own life, like one of the things that's a common trait in every season of my life is I was a learner. I was observant of those around me, and I was paying attention to the dynamics of people that were successful, what they did, how they did it, right? And it caused me to seek out more information. And the more I sought out, the more I learned, the more I knew I needed to learn, right? Mm-hmm. And then through all of that self-awareness, my own ego comes into play, right? And I do all the mindset work and the emotional work to make sure that I am in check and I fix. I shouldn't say fixed because I'm not sure that it's ever fixed, but you know, I get clarity on this dance between what you're talking about is ego and true self, and just be real, be authentic, be a learner, be curious. And man, so much happens whenever that happens.
Yeah,
dude, that's so true. That's so true. You know, a great example is, you know, that not so much like business oriented, but one thing that I focus on first is relationship. Mm. I don't go into the transactional stuff right away. I connect with people. You know, what kind of things do we have in common? We live at the Porsche Design Tower, and if you're familiar with the building,
I'm not.
Ballers live here. Like, and you know, just through walking the lobby, I mean, we're seeing Damon John, we're seeing people that are high performers that aren't even famous. And just through being curious and asking questions and being involved in their lives in a different way, not trying to be transactional. We change transaction and we put that on the back end. Like, look, it's going to happen naturally.
That's right. It's
gonna happen naturally. And we go to the Formula One races. I got into the McLaren house. I got hooked up, and it was my neighbors. And then afterwards, I get invited to the yacht, and I get to meet the president of McLaren. I'm meeting some famous people that are on the yacht, and you know, it's because of that power. I'm not there to flex on anyone.
I'm so like, good.
Dude, you guys are so badass. You guys are amazing. Some guys like showing me a guy that lives in my building. He's got like 3 units in here. He has a gallery of up to, he got $60 million worth of cars.
Wow.
In this building upstairs. And it's, and it's a gallery. And
that's crazy.
It's crazy. But the guy, like, he was just so excited to show me what he did.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that is so cool. Like, I was authentically, genuinely super excited. I was like, man, I'm so impressed. But I am.
Yeah,
I mean,
no doubt.
I don't have that. But people like things in their own way. Like, would I do that? It's not something I work towards. But I'm fascinated that somebody else did it.
No doubt. And to be inspired by them, right? No doubt.
Right.
To be inspired, just the energy and the drive. We talk about being not being transactional, but being transformational. And the difference is one's relational. Yeah. Right? Yep. To be transformational is to be relational. So good.
Yeah.
Well, the guy,
a different guy, he showed me he's got a coffee table. It's a glass coffee table. And he has his first million in that coffee table.
Wow.
Dude, this is insane. You don't know. I'm just like blown away. Again, it's that inner child just being like, wow, dude. I mean, if that's what you like, that's just incredible. Like, I love seeing other people's dreams come true.
Me too.
I mean, isn't
Me
it too. Awesome when you see other people like they show me something like that, and it's just like I just love that they love that and they did it.
And they did it. And that they earned the reward, right? Like they worked their butt off. They were intentional. They sacrificed. They did all the things that we're learning how to do and to do more of. And it paid off for them. It is really a fun place to be for sure.
Yeah.
Look, I want to get started. So tell me, like, for my listeners, tell me where you guys are at today. Like, just bring us up to speed. Like, where are you at today with your investing firm, your asset class? Like, tell me a sort of a picture of where you're at. And then I want to work backwards and say, like, so how did you start, right? Tell me the journey to where you are. Let's start with where you're at.
So right now, about 6 months ago, we sold a portfolio of mobile home parks and RV resorts. We sold it for $100 million.
Nice.
We built our portfolio up to $100 million. We sold $78 million of it.
Okay.
We netted $22 million from that sale.
Very good.
And so now we opened up Cash Cow Capital. And what we're doing there is, for one, educating people on how to invest in mobile home parks and RV resorts, what they are, and how the business model works. And taking on partners that want to invest with us and, create a massive investment firm of mobile home parks and RV resorts where people generate wealth.
Sure.
We're doing exactly the same thing that we did before, but on a much larger scale.
Yes.
It's the same asset class. It's the same types of property. We know the opportunities. We know how to create 3 streams of revenue per site, going on 5 streams of revenue per site.
Okay.
So, it's the same amount of work doing it big than doing it small. So it's like for our strategy, our immediate strategy was like, let's just accumulate as much property as we could, as we can. We put it together and did a portfolio sale. So our strategy was like, how can we do this quickly? Put it together, reposition these properties, make net a good amount of money so that we can go do it on a much larger scale. And so now we're here. Now we're ready to just explode. We've got properties on the pipeline that have tremendous amount of opportunity and potential. And we're just really excited to show everyone how we're doing it, what we've done, the mindset, the journey, the strategies, the analysis, finding the deals. How to be creative with the deals.
I've got one that I want to add to the pipeline today. So before we get off the phone, I've got one that I want to add to your pipeline or at least explore, right? Awesome. One of the things I like to do is to connect people. I'm not in the RV space or the mobile home park space yet, but I do have a developer friend that has got an incredible site and an incredible city that's poised to be successful. And I think it's probably off the beaten path. So, but that's my 2 cents on it, right? So I want to make sure that I at least take time today to share that with y'all so that I can connect you and see what happens with it. Nothing may come of it. And yet again, it might be a great golden nugget inside the portfolio. Let me ask some clarifying questions on the sale. Are you guys, so when you sold off a portion of the portfolio, you retained 100% of some of your portfolio, or you sold a percentage of the overall portfolio and now you're a minority partner in the portfolio that you acquired?
So one thing I want to add to that is we did that in 1 year.
I was going to ask you the time frame.
It took us 1 year to do it.
And we were, it was just us. So we didn't have any outside partners. We didn't syndicate any of the properties. It was just Christian and I, self-funding all of the transactions and acquisitions.
Okay. Well, that opens up a whole new can of worms in terms of questions. That I
now
would
we are involving investors. Now we are bringing on investors.
Now we are. But sure. That transaction there, that was just Christian and I.
That is fantastic. Congratulations on that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. What a feat. Well, where did you guys get started? Like, what was the first property? Was it just a year ago, or you've been in this prior, but just in a different capacity or a different asset class?
Yeah, we've been doing this for 15 years.
Okay.
So Christian and I met in high school.
Okay.
And when we met, we immediately wanted to start a business together. So, you know, a lot of people, when they date, they kind of are figuring things out. Well, our figuring things out was like, hey, we've got like a really great connection. Like, what do we want to do? Like, do we want, we explored opening daycares, bars, nightclubs. I mean, we were 18, you know, so we're looking at those types of businesses, but nothing really set well with us. We were just like, I don't know.
Well, the conversation really started with intention.
Yeah.
You know, when we got together, we totally skipped over the whole jealousy thing and, you know, trying to like be a couple. It's like, look, we're a couple. What do we want to do?
Yeah. Let's move.
We want to be rich. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you.
No, I get it.
Our goal was like, dude, like, we just want to be rich. Like, what does it feel like? Like, to go do what we want, when we want, how we want, without the restriction of time or money. We both had jobs. We hated our job. We hated that, like, we couldn't just get away for the weekend or do what we wanted to do. Maybe there were times we wanted to spend more time together. And it's like, crap, I got to go to work at a job I don't like, at a job I don't get paid enough, and blah, blah, blah. I'm not passionate about. And look, when you're in a situation like that, it's you're doing your boss a disfavor, right? Like, you're not bringing any value. So anybody in the situation where they hate their job, they don't like it, they're miserable, and they're doing it for a paycheck, for the sake of the business owner, leave.
For the sake of everybody. Nobody should be miserable. There's enough opportunity. There's enough jobs around. There's people that are hiring all over the place for you to find your unique space where you are bringing value and have the freedom and flexibility, what you're looking for, right?
Yes.
Everybody should be happy, whether you're an employee or an employer. If you're unhappy, you got to get out.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with being an employee.
That's right.
It's a beautiful thing. But Brooke and I, we, you know, that was the first thing we did was we started setting the intention. You know, and the intention really came from struggle and suffering. Like, we had no money.
Yeah.
You know, had no money, and we wanted to figure out how to like be prosperous, how to be abundant. And we both gravitated towards people at that time that we thought were living a prosperous life. So we were like, how do we do what they do? How do we gravitate towards them? We struggled with finding mentors. We struggled with connecting with mentors as well. And one thing that we realized is like, we needed to figure out how to just take massive action, risk it all, which we had really nothing to risk. But we were like, we're going to risk it. We're going to risk everything. We're going to jump right in. And the first thing we did was educating ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay. We took action. We started doing due diligence on different types of businesses, different investments, to see what clicked, what made sense, what were we passionate about? What could we enjoy putting all our time and energy into?
Yeah.
And, you know, after going through a spread of these things, we landed with real estate. It was something that we really enjoyed. We loved it. We enjoyed it. We loved the process of it. We loved the amount of energy and effort and the work that it took. Like, it was an exciting business to be in. And that's what kept us going. It's like, nonetheless, this is exciting.
So what was the first real estate deal? Did you get your real estate license and you were just an agent or a broker, or did you buy a property? Tell me the first property that you took some risk on. And did you make money or lose money? What was that first deal?
So we went after a fourplex, and it was, well, I guess like technically
the first property was a house.
Yeah. Our first property was a house that we actually bought and lived in.
Okay.
Not an investment. But then what we did was we went after a fourplex.
Okay.
No, it was a townhome.
It was a townhome. Yes, first. It was a townhome. Okay. First. So the townhome, so I had my house, right? And Christian and I lived in our house. And we, so it was in 2008, Obama was giving out a first time home buyer tax credit for $8,000.
I remember it.
Yes. So we're like, Christian, like, cause we weren't married at the time. I was like, Christian, you gotta buy a house. You gotta buy a house. We're going to rent it out. And so Christian's like, all right, we found this townhome. We borrowed $6,000 from his parents. And that was literally their entire savings. Like,
yeah. Wow.
They were like risking it all for us. And
wow.
You know, we were 18, like just.
Nobody believed in us yet.
Yeah. Like everybody was like, what? Are you sure this is what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know? So we did. And sure enough, it was like.
6 months later, we get an $8,000 check.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey guys, here's your $6,000. I get to keep 2000.
Yep. And then we had like $150 a month of income.
Yeah. Okay.
Plus we were like, oh my God, $150 a month. Like this is insane, you know? And so then our next deal we did was a fourplex.
So you bought that house in 2008 or the townhouse. Yeah. The recession didn't catch you off guard with that. You bought it right.
Yeah, no, it was fine. It was fine.
At the time, we didn't really know the difference between a good deal or a bad deal.
Or like a good market and a bad market type of thing.
We just went in. Because our theory behind it is we don't know what we don't know. So let's get into something and let's experience it.
Yeah, figure it out.
Yeah. So at least that when we're having the conversations with people, we're asking good questions, we're going through it with them, we understand specific breakpoints and things to look out for, like taxes, insurance, you know, on a basic level.
Sure. Yeah.
And then we went to a Rich Dad Poor Dad seminar.
Ah.
And that really just blew our minds. We were like, yes,
I guess so.
We want to be the investor. That's us right there. I mean, that was really, we just focused on, we're like, okay, we're in the right industry. Real estate's the game. This is what we're going to do. That's when we really made the commitment that we were just going to be professional real estate investors. That was going to be our everything.
That was it. So then you bought the fourplex.
Then we bought the fourplex and it was bank owned. Somebody needed to come in with cash. Like a bank would not finance it. It was vacant. It had been vacant for years. And so I found a hard money lender.
Okay.
And I had to convince this hard money lender because, again, 18 years old, zero savings. Okay, $2,000 in our savings account, no prior real estate history, no anything. We had zero credibility. We didn't even have credit. You know, I mean, we just had nothing.
Sure.
And I had to convince this guy that to just take a chance on us. And he did. He loaned us $150,000 for 6 months. And I was like, great, this is perfect. Let's do it. He charged us like 4 points, 14% interest.
Wow. Okay.
Like, great. Where do I sign?
This is
awesome. And so we closed on that property. And I mean, we had like the mailman showing up, like, what did you guys do? You bought this place? Like, are you stupid? You know, we just had people like literally driving by just to pull up to see like, who are the clowns that bought this place? You know, we were just like covered in paint and like, you know.
So you guys flipped it or you guys remodeled it yourself then?
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, when we signed for that hard money, we didn't really exactly know what we were signing for. We just, our focus was like, we're going to get money. We didn't really understand the cost of the money.
Yeah.
You know, the structure. We just knew that when we signed, we're getting $150,000. And that's what we're doing. And so we also, so for us, just understand, like, we were just focused at one thing at a time. We're like, okay, we found the deal. okay, we overlooked 100 red flags, right? We found the deal. This yep. is it. Okay, now we found the money. And it was just challenge after challenge after challenge. Because once we got the money, then we realized, oh shit, we have like $100,000 worth of repairs to do. Mm. Oh shit, there's no tenants in here. We're not cash flowing. Oh shit, I need to figure out like who's gonna help me remodel this thing, because I knew nothing. I mean, so we went, and every time we had somebody come in, like when I would call a contractor, I already knew I didn't have money to pay him. So I was reaching out to family and friends and, you know, people on Google. And when they would come out, give me bids, I would have them do like, I would only hire them when it was something that I knew that there was no way I could get it done. Like it literally required a professional or somebody licensed, because there was a lot of electrical, a lot of plumbing. There was siding repair, doors were falling off, broken windows, the roof was leaking. And it was just like bad reports after bad reports. This is wrong, that's wrong. And I'm just like, oh my God, what did I do? Like, this is our investment right here. Like, this sucks. But again, being excited about it, people were just coming in like, man, you guys, I can't believe you guys did this. Like, what are you thinking? And Brooke and I, we literally just, we locked ourselves in the car. We're like, look, I don't know what we did, but we made a decision. No matter what happens, we still love each other. We're not going to blame each other. We're not going to hold it against each other. We're going to take it all the way to the end. We're going to figure this out. And so, you know, I wasn't even done. Like, Brooke and I are replacing floors. She's helping me fix plumbing. She's helping me fix electrical. We're up on the roof fixing roof. We're going to the dump 3 times a day. And it wasn't what we signed up for. But we just knew that it was part of the game. We knew, like, we're going to get this done. We need to just get off our high horse and get in there, get on our hands and knees, get the work done. And, you know, we're negotiating at Home Depot. By the way, you can negotiate at Home Depot. Just for those that don't know, you can, because I did it. So we weren't even done. And Brooke and I were like, okay, we need tenants. We need money coming in, because our first payment was coming due. We had like 1 month free, I guess.
Yep.
And then this month, we had to start paying the note. And so Brooke was like, I need to get tenants. And she did. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even done. And tenants are like living there while I'm still fixing stuff.
Wow.
Obviously watching a total amateur, someone that has no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
I didn't even have tools, bro. Like, my tools was a screwdriver, a hammer, and a caulking gun. Those were my tools. And so anyway, you know, 6 months of that, to the end of the 6 months, we finally failed it. I still wasn't done remodeling or making the repairs.
But let me add to this too. So I thought, you know, 3 to 4 months in, we would just contact a bank, let them know like, hey, we got this place. We filled it with tenants. It's cash flowing. I thought we would just refi the property and we'd be good. Well, that's when I learned there's a seasoning period with the bank, and it was a year.
Oh, wow.
So our only option at the time was to sell it. And we only had 2 months to do it at the time that I had contacted the bank. So we found somebody to buy it. And the day we had to pay the hard money lender back, the day we closed on that loan.
How about that?
Yep.
Made money.
Okay. Yeah. So
that's the good part, right?
Yeah. So we're sitting at our dinner table, we're looking at the closing statement, and we're just sitting in silence for an hour, because we're like, we just put ourselves through hell for the last 6 months and we made no money. And then we just started laughing, like, hysterically, because we were like, what did we just put ourselves through?
Sure.
We didn't make any money. You know, we thought we were going to make like $50,000. Like, it, we made nothing.
Bro, I was so pissed. I felt like the biggest loser. I'm like, what an idiot. Like, I can't believe we just went through all that to end up with zero money.
But nobody goes through that and doesn't bounce back. So tell me the next bounce back. Tell me what you learned and how you parlayed that lesson into something that cashed out big.
Well, look, after an hour, what seemed like an hour or more, looking at this closing document, seeing a big fat zero down at the bottom, I think it was like negative $220 for some closing fee thing that was left over. But we started, I mean, we literally started laughing at ourselves. Like it just became, we were just so hysterical about it. It was, we were just like humiliated, but at the same time, it was so.
What can you do? Right.
Went through it for nothing. And so, right then and there, we're like, you know what? Now we know what not to do.
Yeah.
So let's do it again.
Yeah.
Let's give it another shot. Now we know what to do. What did we learn? And what can we take from that and apply it to our next investment and make sure that we're going to make money this time? So that's exactly what we did. 3 months later, we buy another house. We made $50,000 on it.
As a flip. You just bought it, rehabbed it, and flipped it, sold it retail.
Yeah.
Got it. And is that what you've primarily done up to the point of doing this trailer park portfolio?
Well, after a few more of those, we ended up going to a seminar. And there was a Jewish guy with curls, the hat, the trench coat. He's like, look, this is what your mailbox looks like if you own single family homes. And it was like a mailbox with a couple envelopes. And he goes, but this is what your mailbox could look like if you own mobile home parks. And it was a mailbox stuffed with cash. And he started walking through us, connecting the dots on how to buy them all the way to operating them, to ultimately repositioning them, make them valuable to the bank. Because at that time, the banks didn't even want to touch them. Mm-hmm. They're like, trailer park, no way. These homes, they were going down in value.
Sure.
And so people just they weren't a good investment. So anyway, we once we saw that and we heard how to operate them, how to buy them, we said, dude, that's exactly what we want. Because you're leasing the land and you don't own the structure. We were sick and tired of owning the structures.
Yeah.
We're like, man, we're getting calls fixing all kinds of different things that are just bleeding us. And so we're like, how can we bring that McDonald's concept to real estate? And this was it. You own the land, you own the infrastructure. That's it. Everything else you sell and you collect your money. And we loved it. And so that's when Brooke found us our first mobile home park.
Now, was your first mobile home park in your backyard or was it geographically?
It was an hour away.
Okay. Yeah. And you bought just the land? And you bought just the land and the trailers were all tenant owned land. I mean, tenant owned trailers.
So the cool thing about it, it was a 12 space park.
Okay.
Brooke found it on Craigslist. She got us a seller financing deal.
Okay.
And it was a split. So there was 6 RVs and then there was 6 mobile homes.
Okay.
So the mobile homes were actually park owned.
Gotcha.
And what happened was, since we knew that the homes should technically be sold, like you can do it both ways.
Sure.
But we wanted to go in with, we don't want to own the home, so we're going to sell them. And so I literally went to each one of those tenants, sold them on why they need to buy that home that they live in. And my job was to sell the vision and have them be aligned with me that I'm there to protect their investment.
Yeah,
their investment is only going to go from here because of the
condition of the park and the community. Yeah,
the improvements I'm going to make.
That's right. That's excellent.
And I followed through.
I love that. And so that was what, roughly 8 to 10 years ago.
It was 2013.
Yeah, so 10 years ago. Okay.
Yep.
Now bring me to the from there, right? Bring me from there to $100 million portfolio.
Yeah. So we worked for a company that we were co-CEOs at. And we took that company from $6 million in revenue to over $25 million in revenue.
Okay.
And so they primarily focused on RV resorts. And they also had mobile home parks in there. And we took 2 years, to, you know, build that company up.
They were at $100 million portfolio valuation.
when we started with them.
And we took it from that to $400 million.
Wow.
In valuation, $25 million in annual revenue in just 2 years. And so the reason why we got approached by this group is because it was just Brooke and I. We had bought that property we just told you about. We had bought two more other smaller mobile home parks, and we were doing great. I mean, I was out there taking action. I was the maintenance guy. I was the property manager. I was the everything. And Brooke was playing the attorney on the background, you know, making sure that we're doing everything by the book, understanding tenant landlord laws and everything, notices. And so they came to us and said, look, we are burnt out. We don't want to do this anymore. You guys got to come in, help us out. And the intent was we were going to be there forever. And so when we took it to $400 million, we were up against the break point. We couldn't grow anymore. Our operations wasn't very good. There was a lot of cracks in the foundation. Mm-hmm. And we sought after mentors. So that's when we started seeking out other mentors to see how we can improve. And it really just, it came down to, we needed to improve our minds before our business could improve, because we were the lids.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
We didn't know it at the time, but actually the owners were our lid. So every time we would try and make massive improvements, we just kept getting roadblocked by them because they didn't understand it.
Yeah.
So Brooke and I went out, found some mentors, re-strategized, restructured. We came back with the battle plan and said, look, this is what we're going to do moving forward. And they said, no, we don't want that. We want you to just keep doing what you're doing. I'm like, look, guys, I'm tired of just handling emergencies. We need to position ourselves so that we can avoid emergencies. I want to avoid problems. And I want to grow. I want to have some time for us. And that's when we decided to leave.
Gotcha. So you walk away from that company and say, we're going to do it our way. We're going to do it the way that the mentors have shown us we need to do it. And you got after it.
We did. Yep. Yeah.
And then we grew that portfolio to 100 million in 1 year's time.
Now, you actually took title to $100 million worth of real estate.
We did.
Leveraging, I guess, cash that you had created and seller financing, and maybe
we had some of our own money. Also, we took an exit amount from how we improved that company, the upside on the portfolio evaluation and the annual revenue.
So that was just, so with that being said, you were poised with some of your own money to then go out and start your own.
Right. Plus our exit money over here.
Yeah.
Plus the experience that that we had in that company. We knew what not to do. Again, life is always about learning what not to do.
Yeah.
And now we're like, okay, now we know what to do. Based on the things we know not to do, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And we took massive action and we went for it. And then when we repositioned these properties, we knew the other company, how they work, how they perform, what they're looking for, how they wanted to basically run things. And so we knew exactly the type of assets that were a great fit for them. And when we accumulated this portfolio, you know, we kind of danced around the rim a little bit. They were dancing around our rim. And it was a perfect opportunity to be like, hey, you know, we got these properties. You guys want to take them? They're like, oh, we were just waiting for you to ask. So, you know, we put it together there and we sold it to them, and we kept three properties. And that's where like the remainder. So it was actually a little over $100 million worth, but we sold them $78 million worth of our portfolio.
Nice. So you've got $22 million worth of assets still and walked away with $22 million of cash.
Yeah.
How about that? That's awesome. Okay. So tell me about the future. So tell me where we're going in 2, 3, 4 years from now. What's life look like? You're fundraising so that you can grow the portfolio. Is this a syndication that you're looking at? Is it a fund? Like, tell me the framework of what you guys are building right now and what the next couple of years of growth looks like.
Yeah. So we're building a fund to purchase, you know, 200 plus sites, mobile home parks and RV resorts.
Yeah.
And educating people that maybe somebody wants to do it on their own, like we did, and educating people on what to look out for, how to own or operate these properties, how to create a creative financing structure. I mean, right now in today's market, everybody's going wild and crazy, but to me, I love creative financing. I love seller financing. There's just so many ways to get creative with real estate transactions. And I think it's a fantastic market to do that, especially in mobile home parks.
On this particular deal that that I've got, I'm going to say in my pocket, it's a partner of mine. It is raw land. Now they're land developers already. So we develop, or they develop, subdivisions where they entitle the land and then sell the lots off to builders. And in some cases, we reserve the lots and build the houses ourselves to sell to the end user, right? Which is usually homeowners. Right. So they're land developers by trade, and they've bought this property to create an RV resort. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that they have consulted with other RV resort management companies. Is that mm-hmm. something that you guys do? Are you outsourced to those same operators? Tell me that where you fit in that space. Tell me how you could get involved with that part. How can I make that connection? In what ways could it pay off for everybody?
So there's a lot of people in the RV space that offer a lot of value for somebody that is developing a community like that. We have people that actually own companies that go out and assess certain pieces of land to tell you exactly, you know, what your rents are going to be there, what the demand is going to be, and all of that. Also, we do partner with some of the top RV park management companies as well.
Okay.
So even making those connections, you know, we'd be happy to do that too. But really understanding the asset that they have.
And have they ever owned an RV resort before?
No. And so what we know
in is metrics and KPIs. To measure performance on the property, measure productivity, staffing it correctly, where the opportunities are.
They believe that they're going to outsource that part to a management company. I think where we're at right now and the work that we're looking to find the answers to is more along the lines, hey, we've got raw land right now. And we need $15 million to bring it to, to launch the RV resort. How do we finance that construction work? Mm-hmm. And who's the lender for that? What do the terms look like? Do we partner with somebody to bring in the equity, or do we just get a loan? How do mm-hmm. we format that, structure that deal? That's the conversations that we're having right now with people that I'm trying to connect us with, they've connected with, so that we can figure out what's the best play on this.
So they own the land already?
Yes.
And how big is the park?
I don't know the number of units, but it's an excess of 100. It might be about 200 lots.
And then do you know where it's at? What location?
It's in Louisiana.
Oh, okay. Where in Louisiana?
Central Louisiana. Well, it's on the Louisiana and Mississippi line. How about that? So like central Louisiana, like right where central Louisiana and Mississippi share, right on that border, in the little vacation town is where it's at. The city is behind the development of the park big time. Like it's a touristy town, right? A lot of local tourists go there. Like I would vacation there, and I'm in Baton Rouge, but people from regional tourist attraction for sure. And just little, little laid back country town. Lots of, tourism is on the rise there, and there is no RV park. I mean, this would be the RV resort park as a destination.
And what's drawing people there?
I think the little backwoods kind of community feel, right? It's got a little swanky downtown area, restaurants, lots of natural terrain, amenities, right? Mm-hmm. Trees, creeks. You can go hiking, right? Hiking trails, little festivals, arts and crafts festivals, things of that nature. I'm probably not the right person to talk to.
But
what I know is that they have acquired the land. They've got construction plans. They've got all the, from the consultants, right? What amenities they need to build.
Yeah.
Now it's a matter of who are we going to partner with for our debt or an equity position and bring this to fruition? Or do we sell what we have? Have we brought this far enough along to where we've got a great vision? Somebody can look at the city, look at what we've got, and they want to buy it as entitled lots, an approved project, and then they take over.
Yeah. Well, and that's the beauty about Christian and I too, is we have a very large network of people that are constantly looking for deals. They're constantly looking for opportunity. So, I mean, even announcing that out to our network, somebody will be interested in something like that too. So as far as
we might even be interested.
Yeah. As far as like, if they should finance it or bring in an equity partner, I mean, getting down to more of those details will be important to really decipher what that could look like. But I mean, those are all really great options to do. And that, I mean, that's a great market. We really like Louisiana. It's a great market for, you know, the RVs, the mobile home parks and things like that. So,
and it's only going to get bigger. It's going to get, it's becoming a much stronger market for mobile home parks and RV resorts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I need to get you connected. So what we'll do is I'll share offline my cell phone number with you guys, and then I'll connect y'all so that y'all can have that conversation and explore some opportunities. How about that?
Thank you. Sounds great. That's awesome.
Well, look, before we end, I want to find out about your coaching side and your educational side. So is that something that that people can subscribe to, pay to belong to? If so, tell me about the structure of that and how people can connect with you.
Yeah. So if you go to cashcowcapital.com, sign up there. We're going to be launching our program here in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
And everything RV. So there's a separate program for just RV resorts, separate program for RV parks, separate program for mobile home parks. And then we also have private coaching for people that want, you know, more in depth and things like that. But really, we just want to educate people. I think one of the biggest things just in America in general is not having the proper education for people. And so we really want to be able to provide that and help people, genuinely help them to create wealth. And it's possible. And I want to contribute to that in any way that we can.
So our courses are more of a beginner stage for someone that's looking to dabble into the industry, maybe get a couple to figure it out, understand what they're looking at, how to evaluate them, what's a good deal versus not a good deal, and how to operate it. And then from there, we have it's a cash cow business mastery for someone who's probably already has deals under their belt. Maybe it's someone who hasn't done any deals, but has a large network or has capital to come in with. And that's where we're taking all those investors and just making massive plays. I mean, we're targeting properties that are 220 sites and above. Okay. We're targeting Class A, 5-star properties. 55 plus manufactured housing communities, RV resorts. We've partnered with other big REITs who have accomplished great things. And we're just mimicking, modeling, and mastering after what they've done already and how they're doing things. And so that's what we're taking our group of investors. We're educating them on mobile home parks, RV resorts, RV parks, so that they understand what their investment is going into and how we're utilizing their investment to ultimately create generational wealth.
So good. I love this. I mean, this is, I don't know how it's taken us this long to connect. This is right up everything that we're doing. I mean, the idea, and we had a mastermind 2 weeks ago, and when we took applications for the people to participate in the mastermind, I went through the answers to the questions that we asked and what the applicants said without saying, right? The words that they were communicating, but they never quite used these specific words, was freedom, flexibility, and fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're all chasing. And that's really not unusual. We're all chasing freedom, right? And when we talk about freedom in that context, it was freedom to do what you want. Like if you want to take a trip, you want to be able to take the trip and afford to take the trip. If you want to help somebody in a charity situation, you want to have the finances to say, yes, I got you, right? Flexibility. If I need to pivot, if I need to change, I don't want to be attached to something that doesn't allow me to pivot or change or maneuver with whatever needs to be changed to serve my life. And then fulfillment, right? We want to be fulfilled. We want to do something that's bigger than just ourselves. And I tend to believe, which is why we are connected on the show, it's why we do the show, that real estate investing is the number one vehicle that allows us to have all of those things.
Yes.
From an opportunity standpoint, from a tax saving standpoint, from a leverage standpoint, right? And I'm a student of Robert Kiyosaki. And I learned late in life about Robert and Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And man, once I read the book, which was just like 5 years ago, everything changed for me. Everything changed. And it's been a wild, wild ride. And I love it.
Yep. I love that, man. That's so cool. You know, the freedom, flexibility, and fulfillment. What's really awesome about that is that's exactly it, right? We're all looking for that. Fulfillment is a big piece because when you're fulfilled, you really don't think about everything else.
And that's true.
You're already free. You're already flexible. You know, I know people that are busy as heck. And they're like, I'm free. Like they feel like they're free because that's their freedom is they love having a packed schedule. They love being on the go, you know, and Brooke and I, one thing that we do is, you know, we find fulfillment, flexibility and freedom in everything that we do and everywhere we go. We make little trips of it. Like we don't look for work-life balance. It's a lifestyle and we do it all at once. When we're working, it's not like, well, we're working and we're not a couple.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's we're all in one. We're working, we're a couple, we're married, we're doing the marriage thing, we're doing the family thing, and we're doing the business thing all at once. When we travel somewhere, we make little trips out of it. And it's happening all at the same time. You know, we'll be making deals and we're hugging and kissing, you know, it's just the way it is.
I love it, man. I love it. You know, I think when you find alignment with, and that's how we broke it down, by the way, in the mastermind, right? How do we take our jobs, which is the form, the substance is freedom, flexibility, and fulfillment. The form is our job or our business. So when we find our job or our business, when we find alignment in those forms that are in alignment with our substance, then fulfillment is almost guaranteed,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you don't care about work-life balance because the work is your life and your life is the work and it all mixes in together. And man, it's a beautiful thing. And I love to help inspire other people to find it.
Yeah.
Same, man. I mean, one of the things that Brooke and I have always talked about is how do we raise the level of our existence, raise our frequency, our vibration, being optimal, and having that high performance, energy and attitude into life and making sure that we're optimizing everything that we do and all the people that we're impacting.
How do you do it? I know we're running out of time, but how do you do it? What's the one thing? I've got my answer. What's the one thing that you would share with people on how you optimize the energy, your frequency, and the level of just being that you bring to the conversations and the relationships that you're making?
I self-develop for 4 hours every morning before I do anything.
Love that. Give me one tip inside of self-development. What does self-development look like? The one thing inside of self-development that makes it?
Read.
You read. Love it. Learning. Love it. Christian, what about you?
It would be relationship with myself. Okay. So there's a number of categories, right? Like loving myself, accepting myself.
Yeah.
If I cannot have a relationship with myself, I cannot have a relationship in the world.
That's right.
Whether I'm going to have a healthy relationship in business, with my wife, with my kids, with friends. I'm not going to show up being the best version of myself. So I've got to trust myself. I've got to be authentic with myself, to myself. And so, you know, it goes down the line, but you know, I got to love myself and I gotta be the best version of me so that I can be the best person that I could possibly be in my existence. So I would say relationship with yourself, it starts there.
You can't have a relationship. That's right. You can't have a relationship with other people that you don't have with yourself. That's right. That's right. Guys, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much, Brooke, for reaching out. I love it. Yeah. Hey, what I want to do, because I've got another call and I see people starting to sign in. I want to get connected. So I'm going to stop recording for a minute. Let's share cell phone numbers so that I can get us connected with this deal in Louisiana. And then if I can do anything for y'all in Louisiana, that's where I'm at, reach out to me. I'm here to serve, here to connect, here to provide value. This has been awesome. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you.
You bet. Hey, thanks for joining me on this week's episode of the Mint Tea Podcast. If you're ready to take your commitment a step further, then go to themintea.com/MMC, where you'll find several options to choose from, including lifetime access to my online masterclass, group coaching, and in-person VIP private mastermind weekend events, all designed to help you implement these strategies and live the good life. So check out themintea.com/MMC.